This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think they wonder whether it'd be any more than a AAA player. So he wasn't a prospect. And just, the mind's such a powerful thing. Guy starts doing well, gets confidence going. Like I said, he was told he was being sent out a month ago. He has a big series in Colorado that's taken off ever since. Even Rodriguez, who was abandoned by the Minnesota Twins, he's been a serviceable pitcher for him.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. Everybody's all over the Chicago White Sox, for letting a young guy like Tatis go. Now he's, a superstar with the Padres. But, hey, 29 other teams could have had him, too. Everybody kind of pass on him. But, that is the beauty of baseball, is you just never know when a guy, comes to life like that.
So, Bruce Bochy is managing meaningful games, and that's the best part of this for me, Bob, is that, and I know that you think so highly of Boch as well. This guy is everything that's right about baseball. The man's got integrity. He's got passion. He is a positive guy. The players love playing for him, and he has this ability to, he kind of connects with everybody from the front office all the way down to the guys, the guys on the grounds crew. It's just, everybody loves Bruce, and we're all so stoked that he's managing meaningful games. Let's say the Giants pull this off somehow and get into the postseason. You think Bruce might have some second thoughts about shutting it down?
He may. He could. I don't put that past him. Particularly if it's it's a new regime here in San Francisco. We'll see, if they would extend that type of offer. But, it could be a thing. Let me go one more year. Or if San Diego Padres, where he lives the offseason, if they say, we're going to make a change, we want to turn to you. So I would think more realistically he would take a year off before he starts thinking about that. But he's reinvigorated and having fun. And I think there are second thoughts. Like, wait a minute now. I didn't expect it to be like this. And, when you said, hey, they'd be playing meaningful games and, you get laughed out of the room if you said that, if you put a lie detector's test, everybody in the Giants organization, they'd say the same thing.
Right.
Nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw it coming.
We're talking with Bob Nightingale. He's senior MLB writer for USA Today. Follow him on Twitter at @BNightingale. Bob, I have not heard Kurt Young get a whole lot of credit for the work that he has done in San Francisco. I covered him when he was a pitching coach over in Oakland. He's one of the things he's really good at is, the unpolished gem, somebody that comes to him and not really highly thought of by anybody in particular, but they got a little something to work with. And Kurt is the best at getting the most out of a young guy's talent. I saw him do it with a number of guys in Oakland. Now, great, you don't have to do a whole lot when you've got Hudson, Mulder, and Zito. With them, it's just maintenance. But where he earns his pay is his work with the really young guys. Like you mentioned Derek Rodriguez. I have to think that Kurt has been a big part of his resurgence. He's taken a little bit of a step back this year, but he looked really good in his last outing. Do you think Kurt Young is underrated?
No, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Michael. He is. Done a very good job with those young pitchers, and they, nobody saw this coming. We all knew what, Baumgartner could do. Even Baumgartner's pitching in years. So, no, I think look at the bullpen, what he's dealt with. Those guys are pitching lights out. And, it's kind of funny that, then the guys leave San Francisco, they're not pitching as well. So, no, I think he's a pitching coach there is in the game.
What do you make of, okay, there's only one trade deadline this year. There's not the, I was told that the trade market will heat up considerably because they're only having the one deadline. Did it meet your expectations?
No, I thought it was a dud. What happened to Zach Greinke?
Yeah, there was one big deal, and that was about it. And so it kind of went reversed from what we were told to expect.
I think what's happening is all these general managers are falling in love with their prospects. No one wants to make a bold move. They're more worried about hoarding prospects and having hosting a parade. And, you know, look at all those years when the Giants, you know, they won 3 World Series in 5 years. People are blasting Sabian for having a bad farm system. Well, use those prospects and go get pieces. You know, we'd rather be on the cover of Baseball America or, you know, Sports Illustrated parade. So, more afraid now. They use it as a cushion to get extensions and not being bold and, you know, and going after this thing. So, yeah, and now what we're seeing is people are just throwing their junk out there and people just claim off waivers. So we're seeing like the same type of August moves, but just people eating contracts rather than actual trades.
Bob, before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts on this A's team in general. Do you think they have enough to kind of hang with the Astros and at least hang on to that wild card spot? And if they do make it into that wild card spot, what do you see their chances of maybe getting past that first round? It's been really difficult for them to do. They've only done it once in the Billy Beane era, and that was 2006. Does this young team, as currently constructed, do they have what it takes to maybe go on a little bit of a run?
Well, I don't see them. They're not going to hang with the Astros. Astros are too good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know they just, you know, beat up on them, but they, you know, I think the best team in baseball. But that being said, there's no reason why Oakland can't get a wild card berth. You know, it's probably going to come down between them and Tampa. You would think the loser of the AL Central, Twins or Indians, should get one of those spots. And then, you know, hey, Oakland's got the bullpen and everything else. They can throw the arsenal at you in a one game playoff. You take their chance. You know, then you're, you know, then you're even going to the division series. But that being said, I think it would be a major, major upset, you know, not to see ALCS of the Yankees Astros. Those two teams are that good. So I can certainly see them winning a wild card spot, but you know, I'm not sure about who winning a division series.
All right, it's Bob Nightingale, senior MLB writer for USA Today. Bob, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday and the rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, look forward to it. Thanks, Michael.
All right, that's Bob Nightingale, truly, truly one of the titans of the industry. He's at every event, and you go to these events, and you see who the real movers and shakers are because you see the power brokers in baseball. They gravitate to the writers that they think are most powerful. Nightingale is one of those guys. He is a powerful writer. He's a great dude, too. I'd like to get him in studio one of these times. We are going to take a quick break. We've got people on hold that want to tell us what is right with baseball. And backstage, his topic is home runs in baseball. Now, I don't know if backstage is thinking home runs are good or bad. I know some people who are in the game that think the home run is killing the game. I'll explain when we come back on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back and thanks for being with us. It is 5:20 and 50 seconds, Jim Cozumore. Jim likes to know what time it is, so I give it to him. Even when he's not here. We're talking about what's right with baseball. Aren't you kind of done with hearing about everything that's wrong with baseball? Yeah, me too. I don't think there's all that much wrong with it. The leaders at the very top of baseball, I think they're backwards, but that's been the case forever. Ever since Bud Selig transferred the power that came with being the owner of the Milwaukee Brewers to his daughter. Yeah, right. We're supposed to believe that Bud completely stepped aside. No. Why am I talking about Bud? That's one of the things that's bad about baseball. I want to talk to you guys about what's right with baseball. Let's remind each other why we love this game. Giants are playing good baseball, fun, exciting baseball. The A's are doing what the A's do. They're doing it with smoke and mirrors? No, they're doing it with crazy young talent. The A's are loaded with talent. I mean, that team, for me, is the most fun team to watch in baseball because all up and down the lineup, you've got heroes. You don't know who it's going to be, but there is going to be a hero, and it's not going to be the same one as yesterday or the day before. It's almost like they're taking turns. Let's go to Marty in Oakland. Marty, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's right with baseball?
I love baseball. In fact, I love your show because you take the positive, and I love that you take the positive.
Thank you.
I love going out to the ballpark. I love being outside. I love being with the crowd. I love watching the game. It's a good place to escape and just enjoy being outside and watching good baseball.
Marty, Major League Baseball needs to hire you and put you in front of a camera to just film exactly what you just said and have it played in prime time all across the country. I could not have said that any better than you did, Marty. Great job. Thank you for calling in.
I also wanted to say I love the stories. What other sport is there where you can have 30-year-old guys come up from the minor leagues and become all-stars? You know, I mean...
Yeah, there's
how many sports can you can do that?
Yeah, and also because the minor league system in baseball, look, football doesn't really have a minor leagues. Basketball has the G League. Baseball, every team in the big leagues has 4 to 5 minor league teams. And think about all those young players. And it's constantly renewing itself with new stories like you're talking about, Marty. I mean, the best part for me being a baseball being a journalist, period, and covering sports, look, you can get numbers and stats and all that type of stuff a million different places. What I try to do as a writer is give fans a little taste of where they can't go. I have the credential that allows me to go places where a typical fan won't. So what I try to do is take the fan with me. I also try to give the fan a piece of who that player is, not just his numbers, not what his... you know, his strengths and weaknesses are as a player, but, you know, what makes this guy tick personally? What's going on in his family? What's his background? Again, you nailed it, Marty. People stories. That's another thing that's great about baseball. There's always great people stories. I mean, you look at the Giants right now. Mike Yastrzemski is one hell of a story. And then you go, look at the two rosters in the Bay Area, and I defy you to pick out a player who doesn't have a really interesting backstory. I would love to be covering one of these two teams on a regular basis because you always have something cool to write about.
Yeah, I mean, look at Liam Hendricks. I mean, he was DFA'd, yep. And now he's the all-star closer. I mean, it's just, you know, Stephen Vogt, he was almost going to give up and quit baseball, and he's doing awesome for the Giants. You know, it's just both young and old, there's always a good story, a feel-good moment. And a good, I mean, there's failures, but there's also successes. And they just keep fighting, and they find success. And I just love that.
Marty, you're the best. Don't be a stranger. Thank you very much for calling. That's Marty in Oakland. Let's go to Luis in Hayward. Luis, what's going on? You're on 95.7 The Game. Luis, what's right with baseball?
Hey, how's it going, Irvin? Just wanted to say I love the show.
Thank you very much.
Man, I don't understand. You know, I'm a young guy. I'm about 23 years old. I don't understand where growing up, everybody always said, man, baseball's slow, baseball this, baseball that. The one thing I remember loving is growing up, the only time we were able to stay up late on school nights were those late October, November nights during postseason. And there's nothing like staying up with my dad, with my brothers, watching those old series, those 2004 with the Red Sox and the Yankees and even the Giants, all those series, man, they were great. I don't know why people say they hate baseball.
Thank you for the phone call, man. I love that, Luis. That's Luis in Oakland. Yeah, talking about watching the games with who? With his pops. That's something that baseball is always going to have. It is a generational sport. It's if baseball is not getting the young fans, I don't necessarily put that on baseball. And I don't know how to articulate it quite the way it is in my head, but I think that's on the parents, the grandparents. Baseball is a sport that you pass down from generation to generation. And you could say that about the other sports as well. But I think baseball is more, I mean, we romanticize baseball. And there's something to be said for, you know, going to a game. I mean, how cool would it be? You're, say, 85, 86 years old, and your son, your daughter calls, hey, Dad, can I take you to a game? Yeah, let's go to a game. And then they come to pick you up, and your grandson or your granddaughter, you got three generations of people in the same car. They're all united by the same thing, and it's just the beauty of baseball. And more likely than not, at the end of that day, the youngest person in the car is the biggest fan in the car. And that just keeps building and being passed on and passed on. It's a generational sport, and it's on us to make sure the next generation gets it, because the powers that be in Major League Baseball don't, quote unquote, get it. They don't understand. They're out of touch. We are in touch with who? With our families, the people that are close to us. It's on us to to make sure the game stays healthy. And there's no reason for it not to be thriving just as much as it was at the turn of the century as it's going to be now and the turn of the next century. Baseball is just fine. Just look at the wave of talent you've got right now. That alone has me excited about the next 10, 15 years of Major League Baseball. Let's go to Backstage in Oakland. Backstage, what's going on? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, how you doing, Irvin?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for listening.
All right, man. First of all, I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm a huge fan of the long ball or the home runs. But what I have to say is, during the home run era, the steroid era, rather, where all of these players, the Bonds and the McGuire's, the Sosa's, everybody were hitting 60, 70 home runs, and the home runs went up during the steroid era. Well, now that the ball is so-called rigged and everything, and we're seeing the long ball again, who's to be held accountable? Should Bud Seeley be held accountable? Because now you have players that's going to miss going to the Hall of Fame, whose career's been tainted because of the home runs hitting. And now here we are right now with nobody actually to blame, but we have players that are actually, you know, going to capitalize off of this.
So you said backstage that you love the long ball, you love the home run. So a game like you saw last night between the Giants and the Diamondbacks, 12 home runs. The day before, the A's played in a game, 12 home runs. That'll never get old to you, just watching all those bombs? Because, I mean, at a certain point, look, it's fun to watch balls fly a million miles, but when you know the ball is juiced, as we all do now, it dilutes it a little bit. It makes the home run less special.
I disagree right now.
Okay.
I've been a long baseball fan, been going to A's games since the early 80s. What could be get a little boring to me, actually, is watching runs being produced, watching players get left on base, the, you know, lack of RBIs. So to be able to have home runs being hit, speed the game up. It'll help the game, excite the game a little more. You know, it'll cause for players to get thrown at again, you know, to see some good old school fights, everything. You know, that
runs
keep the game live.
That's what I'm talking about. I like that backstage. Hey, I see that you're in Oakland. Safe to assume you're an A's fan?
Absolutely.
How you feeling about them possibly closing the gap on the Astros over the next couple of years? Because if those young starting pitchers that have been banged up for the A's, if they get all of those guys back and they're close to what they were before they got injured, or even better, there's some guys that come out better than ever from Tommy John. Do you feel like, or do you feel like it's the Astros division for the foreseeable future?
I disagree right now, and, you know, I'm a huge Billy Beane fan, and one thing that he has done is he's kind of, let baseball know that it's not about the money and all of the high-paid players, and it's about getting the people to fit within the system, which he does excellent. So right now, I got to say, with the A's, I believe that they can be content with anybody, just because of Billy Beane's philosophy and what he brings to the organization.
All right, it's a great phone call backstage. Thank you very much. Don't be a stranger. We'll be on tomorrow from John Dickinson and I. We'll be together tomorrow from 8 until noon. So if, you know, over the course of the show, for whatever reason you weren't able to call in, couldn't get what you think is right about baseball on the air, we'll be there for you tomorrow as well. We got a full day of live and local tomorrow. Let's go out to John in San Francisco. John, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's right with baseball?
Hey, Michael, thanks for taking my call. Huge fan of the show.
Thanks.
First of all, the answer is everything's right with baseball. And I wanted kind of to segue from one thing to another, talking about, first of all, that has home field advantage. It's hockey. You get to put your line out first. You get to set up on the face-off first. And why I wanted to bring that up was because segueing into baseball, I think they've done many things in the NHL with smaller creases, smaller pads that have made more scoring, more excitement. I don't think it's changed the game for the negative at all. I think it's made it a really good thing. I wouldn't call any of that a pejorative or a probatory response. But I love baseball because it's non-demonized. A lot of the people that we see playing this game play it with class. And I think that's why I'm able to sit down with my 10-year-old and show him these people are all role models. we could sit down and watch Christian Yelich, you know, or Trevor Story, or, you know, anybody else, you know, obviously we're A's fans, but anybody around the league that's just, you know, balling out of control and get a good positive influence, you know, on the youngsters with that. And I just think it's a great thing. One thing I would say negative is it's just not covered enough in the Bay Area. I would love to hear so much more radio about baseball. And, you know, that's kind of where I stand with that. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thank you for the call, John. Appreciate that. That's John in San Francisco. We have got Ken in Oakland. And after we take this call from Ken, we are going to pivot ever so slightly. Actually, it's not ever so slightly at all. It's a pretty significant pivot because we're going to get into some Hard Knocks. We have some sound. They need to change the name. It's not Hard Knocks. It's just Chucky. Just call it Chucky. I would just put him on camera, mic him up, and tell everybody else, you got the day off. I need one camera to follow Chucky. I need a sound guy to follow Chucky. And that's it. Because if you haven't seen any of it yet, you're in for a treat. I have not seen full episodes yet. I've seen little clips here and there. Somebody told me I can find... I don't have HBO, obviously. Somebody told me I can find the episodes on YouTube. Wes, thumbs up or thumbs down? Can I find it on YouTube? Yes, I can. At least the first one, I am told. Yeah, Hard Knocks, I expected it to be great. It's living up to its potential for sure, and they haven't even really gotten to Antonio Brown just yet. Wait till they unleash that dude. All right, Ken in Oakland. What's going on, Ken? How are you? You're on 95.7 The Game.
What's going on, my man? How are you doing today, Mr. Urban?
I'm doing fantastic. Mr. Urban is my dad. You can call me Michael.
It's all good. It's all good. Hey, man, just real quick, man. I'm a diehard Oakland A's fan, born and raised a few blocks away from the Coliseum and everything. I've always loved baseball. I've always had the best of both worlds to go to the Giants game as well, too. So I think the National League and the American League is just, you know, baseball right there is just great. The one thing I would say that needs to change, why can't everybody play everybody? We got 162 games, but certain teams don't play each other at all. I mean, if they want to, you know, keep the numbers up in baseball, I think we should play everybody. You know, there's just no way in the world that the Yankees can't play the Dodgers, you know, or you know what I mean? Like, we wait all this time and no one can play one another, but we have 162 games. That just needs to change, and I think baseball would be pretty much, you know, pretty good.
Ken, how old are you?
Thoughts on that.
Ken, how old are you?
I'm 37.
What are your feelings on interleague baseball in general? Has it changed over the years? Like, tell me how you felt about it when it first came to be, when they introduced interleague baseball, and have you changed your mind at all about how you feel about it over the many, many years?
I think it's great because what you got to realize is the National League was dominating in pitching and the American League was dominating in hitting, and you got the best of both for us to come together and play. I still think that the National League is still a little bit more dominant. I mean, I know baseball has changed in this era, but, you know, I think interleague is wonderful. You know, I think it's amazing. If the NBA can play 82 games and everybody can play everybody at least twice, I think the MLB should be able to look at that and take that under consideration.
Where do you stand, Ken? Where do you stand on designated hitter? Would you like to see it abolished completely, or would you like to see it adopted and have it uniform throughout? Every team has a DH.
Adopted? No, you know what? Keep it the way it is. You know, keep it to where every pitcher can still hit too. You know, I mean, again, showcase their talent. You know, Madison Bumgarner was a hell of a hitter, as well as a pitcher, you know what I mean? Like, people don't realize that pitching is a hell of an art, but if you can hit two, it's like you got the best of both worlds right there, and people should be able to see that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and isn't it more, I mean, when you see a pitcher, like, lean into one, really get one, like Mad Bum, when he hits a bomb, I like home runs too, but I like a Mad Bum homer or any pitcher's homer better than any other position
exactly.
player.
Exactly. I concur. You know, I don't think he hit one every often, but Randy Johnson, you know, it's good to see guys like that hit a home run because it just showcases, you know, the other side of just pitching, and, you know, and everybody gets to see everything from different sides, you know, of the parameter there, you know.
Thank you for the phone call.
Man. I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Ken just got me thinking about my favorite pitcher home runs. It's got to be Bartolo Colon, right? There's no way any pitcher home run was better than Bartolo Colon going deep. Also, I for some reason I was on a Bartolo Colon Jag. I don't know how I ended up falling down this rabbit hole, but I fell into the YouTube Bartolo Colon rabbit hole, and they did a really nice job of catching my eye. It's like the ultimate when you're in line at a grocery store and they have those impulse buys that are set up right next to the cashier. That's kind of how this felt. It just caught my eye and actually reminded me when I said, ooh, piece of candy. James Woods, piece of candy.
Ooh, piece of candy.
Piece of candy.
Ooh, piece of candy.
That same clip that had Bartolo Colon that showed his home run, which was just majestic. Did you guys see the defensive play that he made going, I think it was behind his back with the glove? I mean, this dude is a hell of an athlete. You would never know it by looking at him. But he pulled off one of the most impressive defensive plays I've ever seen. And in that same clip, he hits a home run. Come on, man. What's wrong with baseball? There's not enough Bartolo Colon. That's what's wrong with baseball. All right. Let's get into it. Oh, here we go. I'm going to read a couple of Chilton Autobody text line before we switch over to Hard Knocks. Barstool Colon homers are the best. I don't know. What? That's got to be. What I'm guessing is that this is autocorrect because he's doing text to talk and he didn't bother or she didn't bother to look at it before they hit send. Take a peek before you hit send. It only takes like 5 seconds, right? 650 says, agree with the last caller. I don't want to watch the A's play the Mariners 18 times a year. Yeah, that gets a little tired. I think what would need to happen, the reason I brought up the DH with the past caller, is that I don't think you can go everybody play everybody. It'd be a dramatic revamping of the schedule. And I think the only way it works so that each team could play every other team, like one series at least per year, I think the DH has to be uniform. I think it's either going to be DH for everybody or DH for nobody. If I had my way, I'd say DH for nobody. I happen to like the notion of, hey, I'm a pitcher. I'm going to help myself. I'm going to work at this skill. I'm going to become the best bunter on the team because that's how I can help my own cause. And I'm also going to learn how to hit. I'm also going to learn how to run the bases. Madison Bumgarner, I did a piece for Giants Magazine, a cover piece, and they wanted the story to be about him as an ace in training. And this was a few years back. He wanted no part of that. And so I told him, look, dude, I've got like 3,000 words. I got a file, and this is the angle they want. And he's like, well, you're creative. Figure a way around it. And so we just got to talking. I wasn't even recording at the time until he said something that I had never heard another pitcher talk about. And I thought, my God, what if every pitcher took the same attitude? And what Mad Bum says, his goal is not to be a great pitcher. His goal is to be a great baseball player. And he said, think about it. I pitch once every 5 days. I've got a bullpen, sometimes two, during my time off. What else am I going to do during those 4 days? Shag? Spit sunflower seeds? Meanwhile, I've got this coach over here who is basically here just to teach everybody how to run the bases correctly. We've got a hitting coach. We've got infield coaches that can teach. Look, you don't have to be a shortstop to benefit from working with somebody like Ron Washington. He's probably gotten more attention as a position coach than anybody else in baseball, and deservedly so. I mean, Wash took Marcus Semien, who was an error waiting to happen, and turned him into a really good shortstop. Eric Chavez came up from the minors. They said all he could do was hit. Terrible with a glove. All right, well, 6 gold gloves later, that's what Ron Washington does for people. If a pitcher goes up to Ron Washington and says, how can I become a better fielder? You think Ron's going to say, no, sorry, dude, I only deal with position players. Point is, Mad Bum says, I've got all these coaches at my disposal. Each one of them excels in a different part of the game. I would be cheating the Giants if I didn't spend all of my time between starts when I'm not getting the work done that gets me prepared for that next start. Why would I not be working with all these coaches to get better at to have an all-around game? And look at the guy. 4 or 5 years later, after I did that interview, he's a baseball player. If I'm pitching, if I'm putting my lineup card out and Mad Bum is my starter for the day, and we're playing with DH rules in that because it's interleague, I'm letting him hit for himself. I would like to see it get to that point with everybody, but I think Mad Bum is an exception. not every pitcher is going to be able to turn themselves into a good hitter, but there's absolutely no reason whatsoever why every pitcher in the big leagues can't drop down a bunt on command to either side of the mound. That's just, if you're not able to do that, you're not taking your job seriously enough. Mad Bum just wants to be a baseball player. I loved talking to him about that, and that's what the story ended up being. And the Giants were thrilled with the story. I also love Mad Bum for not wanting any part of the ace in training type of deal, because that's the last thing you want to be. A youngster, the media proclaims you to be this thing. You didn't proclaim yourself to be this thing, yet your veteran teammates will razz you because the media has labeled you as such. All right, we are going to get to Hard Knocks. In fact, we're going to rename it. It's just called Chucky. I hope they name it just Chucky, because all you need is John Gruden and you will be entertaining. We've got entertained. We've got 5 clips, 6 clips, 6 of the best clips from Hard Knocks. And guess who's featured in every single one of them? 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
I don't think anybody out there can do the robot as well as I can. And when I'm doing the robot to this song in particular, wow. Talk about good for ball. Schmaxel Rolly. I butcher the character's name every week. It's become kind of an inside joke. Now I do it on purpose. And as long as I get Wes Mills laughing, that's all I really need. Big question for today. I'm sick of hearing about what's wrong with baseball. What's wrong with baseball? So I ask you, the audience, what's right with baseball? Let's talk about what's good about baseball. Man, the phone line's lit up. Thank you for participating. I'm going to take this one phone call, and then we must get to Chucky and Hard Knocks. We've got Mike in Daly City, wants to talk DH. What's up, Mike? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, I heard you talking about the difference between the two leagues, and I agree they should make them uniform. I had suggestions many years ago, going all the way back to the 94 baseball strike, about how to improve the DH and not just have it one way. So see what you think of this proposal to save jobs as well. Basically start with the National League rules and make one minor change, which is if you pinch hit at any point during the game for the pitcher can continue to pitch. So if you add one roster spot, and I guess there was a proposal recently to have like a taxi squad or a, you know, 3 people that you can deactivate, that would be perfect in conjunction with this. So you wouldn't run out of players, in other words. But
that's, you're basically, you're
thing where you're down like 5-1 in the fourth inning and you got bases loaded, one out with the pitcher coming up. You can pinch it, and if you want to leave the pitcher in, or if you have like a 0-0 tie in the seventh inning, and you get a, you know, leadoff double, and you sacrifice the guy to third, you can bring a pinch hitter up instead of having the pitcher come up and, you know, having the defense strategize against you.
Well, if you're going to be allowed to do that, why not just have the DH and have it across everything? I mean, I'm sorry, Mike. I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around the idea of pinch hitting for a pitcher and the pitcher being able to stay in the game. That kind of
the reason is because the players should still be required to play the field.
Okay.
And so you want to maintain the original rules of anybody who's in the game has to play both ways. You just have this one additional tweak that if you pinch hit for the pitcher at any point during the game, you have the option to let him come out and pitch again. Doesn't apply to any other position player. And of course the person who pinch hits has to either go into the field or come out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between this and the DH. You can't send them up all 4 times.
Gotcha.
You have to pick one time as a pinch hitter and then he's out of the game, or he has to come in on defense for someone else.
All right, so Mike, while I've got you, clearly you're a baseball fan, so you've heard time and again that baseball is broken and they got to fix this, got to fix that. I disagree with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with baseball. I love it as much now as I ever did. But how about you? Do you think something's dramatically wrong with baseball? Or are you with me?
I like the National League rules as it is. I'm just offering that as a compromise to the DH people.
Right.
That say we got to get rid of the pitchers hitting at all. I'm happy with letting a pitcher come up, you know, in the second inning and make an out or bat sacrifice or do whatever. But if it's a key situation, at least you have this one option to make it a little more exciting for the DH people. That's my proposal. I'm happy with National League rules with no changes, and I don't mind 3.5-hour games. Here's what I would change. The one thing I would change, and they talk about this all the time, is the pace as opposed to the length of the game. I would make whatever reasonable rules you can, like stepping out of the box or whatever you do to, you know, get into the box in the first place. Maybe put some kind of a clock on that so that, you know, each pitch is 15, 20, 30 seconds apart.
Right.
But the rules should be much stricter on the hitter than on the pitcher. You know, the pitcher should have a set amount of time once the batter's in the box, but I don't care what that length of time is. I just don't like the hitters going through all these shenanigans.
Yeah, they need to have somebody at least say, dude, let's pick up the pace. We're growing beards here. Hey, Mike, thank you for the phone call, Mike. We got to bounce. I got to get to Hard Knocks. We are going to be speaking, by the way, on the Dial Pad guest line with Cody Benjamin. He is an NFL writer for CBS Sports. He's going to join us at about 6:05, maybe a little bit after that. But for now, we got to talk about Hard Knocks, man. I may just become an HBO subscriber just so I can watch Hard Knocks for the rest of the season. Because having not had access to Hard Knocks and hear all my buddies talk about how great it was, and I'm just glad that we have people like Wes Mills in the world who can dig out the great content and tell me all I need to know about Hard Knocks. And after hearing the sound that he pulled for me, I realized, wow, this is all Chucky. Chucky is Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks is Chucky. And his first question in this first clip that you're going to hear, we all know who's been very conspicuous in his absence, right? Yeah, that would be Antonio Brown, and apparently Grid misses him.
Has anybody seen my friend Antonio Brown?
Just that one sentence. How can you not smile hearing that? Can you play it for me one more time, Wes?
Anybody see my friend Antonio Brown?
Now, is this done in a meeting? Is it like he's talking to the whole team? The whole team hears him saying, has anyone seen my friend Antonio Brown? Oh, great stuff. And now we've got Gruden speaking with Glenn in the backup quarterback, right? There's a pick, and then there's another pick. Are these both in the same clip, or is it two clips? It's two clips. All right. First clip is Gruden talking to Glennon after the first pick.
Waiting! What's that?
Glennon fires deep, picked off, intercepted at midfield.
It's the throw you can't make.
Hey, what are you doing? You gotta start fixing this. Let's go! Let's play some football here!
Boy, you better be ready to play for Chucky, because he is going to come down your road, and he's coming hard, and it's going to be blue. Whoever's responsible for bleeping out everything that Chucky says that needs to be bleeped out, that's a full-time job, man. He'll sneak in. We heard one clip while I was in the production booth. We played a clip that we assume has been played on our air before, except the beeping out of the F-bombs somehow got missed. I have to believe that got done live, right? It didn't actually. We'd have heard from the FCC if that had gone live. But really, you got to be on your toes with Chucky, because everything, the dude is on fire 24/7. And I don't think it's an act. I've got buddies who think, it's an act. Of course, they're Raider haters. They hate all things Raiders. They're the Niners, and they are like the stereotypical Niner fans. Seriously, the white wine and brie, they are those types of Niner fans. They can't stand Gruden. They think he's an actor. I think he's just Chucky. He's just a freak. Here's after Glennon's second pick. Now, Chucky's really upset.
From the gun, Glennon fires another interception at the goal line by the Rams. That was a very, very bad throw by Mike Glennon.
The hell are you doing? What are you doing? What
bad
are you
ball.
Doing?
Bad ball. What are you doing? Well, where were you going?
Single high.
I don't care.
Oh, man. Can we? I want to hear this one more time. Because this is, you could tell, if you're Glennon right now, you are so afraid of your head coach. Fearing your head coach is not a good thing, but when Chucky's pissed, I'd be afraid of him too. Let's hear that second one again.
From the gun, Glennon fires another interception at the goal line by the Rams. That was a very, very bad throw by Mike Glennon.
The hell are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Bye ball.
What are you doing? Where were you going?
Single high.
I don't care.
How many times did he ask? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I think he was looking for the proper inflection just to strike the right amount of fear before the poor kid. I mean, that dude's going to have to go to the locker room and change his underwear. I'll guarantee he crapped his pants when Chucky was jumping him like that. But he's an equal opportunity jumper. He'll get on anybody. Backup quarterbacks, mistake-prone backup quarterbacks, and John Gruden, not the greatest combination. Now, we all know Mr. Peterman's history, right? Didn't he throw four picks in like a quarter and a half? Who was he with when he did that? Was it the Bills? Okay. So you guys remember that? Peterman's first name? Nathan Peterman. The only time I've ever heard of him before was those four picks in a quarter and a half. And you think, okay, rough start for the guy. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and say it was just nerves. No, he throws a lot of picks. And Gruden, as you will hear, isn't wild about picks. If getting after Glennon sounded rough, listen to the way he goes after Peterman.
Did you even think about that?
Absolutely.
Why did you throw it?
Matchup.
That's a stiff linebacker standing out there with no help anywhere.
Yep.
We got to throw that.
Gotcha.
Rip it. If he can't beat that guy, we got to get somebody that will.
Yep.
All right?
Gotcha.
Are you a blockhead? I love you, but I'm not going to let you f***ing run the ball into unblockable looks.
Yeah.
You got to know more about our offense. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
Go the other way.
Yeah.
Come on, you're a smart guy. Yeah. You just got to have the confidence that you can pull the trigger.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. How scared did Peterman sound right there? We've got to listen to that again. And listen to how many times Peterman said, yeah. I mean, he's like a little kid getting yelled at by a teacher. He's freaked out, and Gruden will not let it go. It's like Gruden's acting like he's just met this guy today for the first time. And then when he finally like breaks down, are you a blockhead? Let's cut to the chase. Are you a blockhead? Let's hear this one more time. Gruden with Nathan Peterman.
Did you even think about that?
Absolutely.
Why did you throw it?
Matchup.
That's a stiff linebacker standing out there with no help anywhere.
Yep.
We got to throw that.
Gotcha.
Rip it. If he can't beat that guy, we got to get somebody that will.
Yep.
All right?
Gotcha.
Are you a blockhead? I love you, but I'm not going to let you f***ing run the ball into unblockable looks.
Yeah.
You got to know more about our offense. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
Go the other way.
Yeah.
Come on, you're a smart guy. Yeah. You just got to have the confidence that you can pull the trigger.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
He just wanted to get the hell away from Chucky, and whatever he would say that would make that happen quicker, he was all about it. Now, when you're coach, when you're trying to make a team as a backup quarterback, and you're playing in a preseason game, and at one point the coach tells you, you've got to know our offense better, I'm thinking that's a bad sign. You're going to have a tough time making that team if the head coach is telling you, you have to know our offense better. You probably should have had the offense down before you strapped it on for an exhibition game. I mean, quarterback is the toughest position in all of sports, not just in football, but in all of sports. I mean, you have to be borderline genius to pull it off. And I mean, like what Peyton Manning did at the line of scrimmage, you know, the Omaha, everybody likes to have fun with those sound bites. But what Peyton Manning did was he controlled both sides of the football. He basically manipulated what the defense was doing because he knew the defense they were in. He knew why they were running the play they were in to counteract what the defense was. And that was part of his genius. So if you're going into a game and you don't know your own playbook front and back, Peyton Manning knew the other team's playbook front and back. That's why you hear about these guys that they're sleep deprived during the season because they spend so much, the guys who are conscientious, they spend so much time film studying to pick up tendencies of the other team. Peterman, blockhead, I'm not thinking he makes the team. Gruden here is speaking to the rookie from Alameda. We were talking earlier about baseball in particular. They're great people stories. Part of the reason I loved covering the A's is because every guy on the A's was a hell of a backstory. Well, the Raiders have a guy with a hell of a backstory. He's trying to make the team as a rookie, and he is from Alameda, and Gruden found out that he was from Alameda. Here's the sound.
Hey, 2 days in a row, though, man. I mean, big-time contested catches.
I dropped that easy over there.
You know, you made a great catch in the post yesterday in the red zone. Carl Joseph beating on you. Great catch against LaMarcus Joyner. If you can beat those guys or stand in there against those guys, that ought to give you a lot of confidence. How's your legs?
Good.
I'm good. You got anybody coming up today?
Yeah, moms and then pops and then...
Any girls, friends?
I'm bringing all my girls up.
Oh, okay. Well, when you do, you bring them by. I'll meet them.
I got a couple of them, man. So.
I heard about you. Hey, you're doing great, man. Keep it going.
Oh, that is incredible. I want to hear this one more time. Now, the rookie that we're talking about from Alameda, it's Keelan Doss. He is a wide receiver. And at the end here, when Gruden starts... Look, he flips the switch and starts... He's Uncle Chucky instead of just Freakazoid Chucky. So he tries to connect with him on a human level. And it almost got a little bit creepy when he started talking about bringing a girl to the game. It sounded like Gruden wanted the guy to bring one for him, didn't it? Let's hear that again.
Hey, 2 days in a row, though, man. I mean, big-time contested catches.
I dropped that easy over there.
You know, you made a great catch in the post yesterday in the red zone. Carl Joseph beating on you. Great catch against LaMarcus Joyner. If you can beat those guys or stand in there against those guys, that ought to give you a lot of confidence. How's your legs?
Good.
I'm good. You got anybody coming up today?
Yeah, moms and then pops and then...
Any girls, friends?
I'm bringing all my girls up.
Oh, okay. Well, when you do, you bring them by. I'll meet them.
I got a couple of them, man. So.
I heard about you. Hey, you're doing great, man. Keep it going.
Who said they wanted to meet you, Chucky? Yeah, bring them on. I'll talk to them. Whatever. That borderline creepy there. But I loved it. I love everything about John Gruden. Finally, the last one. When Chucky is in front of the entire team in a meeting, you better be wide awake, paying attention. Because if not, he's going to explode and you're going to get freaked out. Listen to how quickly he goes from 0 to 60. This is how the episode started. Episode 2, this is how it started. The very first things you heard.
But more than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better execution.
Now we're clear on it. Thank you, Chucky. All right. If you're on hold, stay there. If you're not, get there. 888-957-9570. We are about to turn to the dial pad guest line and welcome in NFL writer for CBS Sports, Cody Benjamin. Cody, how you doing? Cody, are you with us? Cody Benjamin. Hello, hello, hello. All right, we're efforting to get Cody Benjamin. We will track him down very shortly. Meanwhile, let's go to Donald. Wait, do we have him? Cody, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. All right, Cody Benjamin, he's an NFL writer for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Cody J, as in Jester Benjamin. Cody, how you doing today, man? Can you feel the game's getting more and more important? Like, is it a steady build? Or are you starting to get pumped?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me on, first of all. I mean, I think, you know, once you get to the fourth quarter of a preseason game, those final couple of minutes, I mean, you're starting to itch for some real football. But just the fact that, you know, yeah, you see the guys out there with the pads. I mean, the hits, you just see the game going for once, you know, after the long off season. And so, yeah, I think it's, you know, with Hard Knocks out, with everything flowing, you know, the juices are here, and it's real.
The voice you hear is that of Cody Benjamin. He's NFL writer for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow, at Cody J. Benjamin. I'm going to spell it for you, CodyJBenjamin. Again, that's at Cody J. Benjamin on Twitter. So you mentioned Hard Knocks. We just had some fun with some sound. They could just change the name of that show and just call it Chucky, because that's what it is. It's the John Gruden show. The guy's unbelievable. It's like that show was made for John Gruden, was it not?
Yeah, no. I mean, I mean, we've seen for years now that John Gruden is good TV, right? I mean, he's with his quarterback camp. I mean, this was an obvious choice. Obviously, you know, you could have just chosen the Raiders without John Gruden and all the drama that has surrounded them. You know, really just typical Raiders there. But, you know, with John Gruden, obviously you're getting entertaining stuff. And I think, the best part about it is that it's genuine. I mean, you know that this is just
right.
John Gruden is. He's not putting on a show. He's not necessarily pulling back or trying to do too much. I mean, he's just being him. And so I think that really it is a fascinating look inside, you know, an organization that has taken a beating for a while now. And so, you know, I think people are fascinated by John Gruden just because of his personality, but also just because of the organization he's tied to here and the big cast that he has in trying to turn them around. So, yeah, I mean, you couldn't have picked a better coach to focus on.
Talking with Cody Benjamin, he's an NFL writer for CBS Sports. Let's stick with the Raiders. John Gruden's first year back in charge of the Raiders was met with mixed reviews. I think some people had unrealistic expectations, like this guy's going to come in and completely reverse the recent slide, these teams' fortunes. It doesn't happen like that. I mean, I felt like there were people at the end of last season saying already, $100 million for that guy? He didn't have the type of impact that a $100 million coach should have. I think that's jumping the gun. You look at the talent on that roster, I think they did about as well as they could. But I do have high expectations for them this year in year two, just because, look, they've had a year of feeling out period. I think probably Derek Carr and Chucky took some getting used to each other, two very different personalities. But I like the direction they're heading in. And once Antonio Brown, if he gets up and running, and no pun intended, I think this could be a really dangerous team, and it could be more like that team that surprised everybody at 12-4 a few years back, as opposed to last year's team and the team before that that was an abject failure, really.
Yeah, it's a complex thing. I mean, you know, you talk about the $100 million expectations. I mean, first of all, we're in a world where, you know, coaches are, I don't know if this is more the truth or more just a perception of kind of how it is, but I mean, we're in a world where, you know, coaches don't necessarily have a long leash, at least when it comes to the front office or the fan base. I mean, you know, it's unusual now for a guy that, you know, if he's struggling after year two or three to get a fourth or let alone a fifth year, you know, to continue a rebuild. I mean, it's an accelerated kind of process, at least in the eyes of the fans. And so when you come out with this this big drum roll with, you know, this big, I guess, announcement to bring John Gruden in as if he's going to be the guy to turn this thing around, when you know, too, with that kind of that move coming from, you know, from Oakland to Vegas, I mean, it was kind of just the perfect storm for a letdown. And so on top of that, you've got, like you said, things don't turn around overnight. And so John Gruden, obviously, we've seen now a year later, a lot of their roster building or roster deconstructing had to do with kind of that long-term plan, not year one or even year two. But as far as this year, yeah, I do think it's fair to raise the bar a little. I wouldn't maybe go as far as saying their playoff or guarantees for the playoff picture. But they certainly have, you know, more talent than I think some people give them credit for, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
We're talking with NFL writer Cody Benjamin of CBS Sports. He is on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Let's now go to the other side of the Bay, or actually, I guess we're going South Bay. San Francisco 49ers last year was their second of the six-year deal. They gave six-year deals to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, which to me was ownership's way of saying, wow, we really screwed this up. It's going to take a while to fix. So they haven't really shined in the past couple of years. Not a big deal to me. I don't think anybody should be on the hot seat, but there are some people out there that say that is the case. Shanahan, Lynch might be on the hot seat. How can that be when year two of the contract features an injury to a running back that you thought was going to be a huge part, we're talking about McKinnon here, was going to be a huge part of your offense. He didn't see the field at all. Your franchise quarterback that you just gave a monster deal to, he didn't even make it through the third game of the season. It was kind of it turned what was a mildly promising season into a season where you just want to be able to identify some guys that will be part of the future. And conversely, you want to maybe eliminate some guys. Just take a look at everybody in a bunch of different situations, and you'll know who you can move forward with and who you can't. This year, I think the Niners, look, it's tied to Jimmy Garoppolo. If he's healthy, I think they'll be a decent team. I don't think they'll be a playoff team. I'm thinking 8-8. Where do you see the Niners, assuming Garoppolo is healthy all year?
Yeah, I think that's a fair projection. Obviously, you know, the safe route in predicting is always to land between that 7-9 and 9-7 range, and that's always, you know, people tend to end up there optimistically, or, you know, even if you're trying to be pessimistic. But yeah, I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head as far as the regime there. I think, you know, as far as hot seats go, I agree. I don't know that they're even remotely close to that. I think if anyone's on the hot seat, it certainly is Garoppolo. I know, you know, he got the big deal, but, you know, obviously they're not going to, I don't want to say they pull the plug after, you know, let's say he turns in just a decent, you know, not a great, but decent season this year. I still don't think they'd pull the plug, but the fact is, I mean, he has only 10 starts to his name. And that's, you know, a lot of backups have more than that. And so he has a lot to prove, and that's almost too much weight on his shoulders for this year to kind of, you know, not only bring the Niners back to the playoffs, but, you know, come back medically healthy, but also perform on the field. I mean, that's a lot to do. So I do think if you're the Niners fans, and if you're the Niners front office, if you end up in that 8-8 and 9-7 range, I think that is a win. And I think, you know, looking toward 2020, you really could build something when you add maybe a few more veteran pieces. Jimmy's got a year under his belt, and then maybe you're looking at the playoffs.
We're talking with Cody Benjamin of CBS Sports. He is one of their lead NFL writers. You can follow him on Twitter at Cody J. Benjamin. Cody, tell me where you're at with Garoppolo. Is he, based on what you know, have seen, and heard just in your circles, you know, conversing with people that are also closely associated with the league, do we look at the 5-game stretch that where he won the entire Bay Area over and was godlike a couple of years ago and going 5-0 after the trade from the Patriots? Is he closer to that or closer to the guy who looked very much like a guy trying to find his way in the NFL in the first, I mean, he didn't make it through the third game, but even the first two, he looked, and it was hit and miss. He didn't look anywhere near as confident or competent as he did the previous year, winning those 5 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I think league-wide the perception is maybe a little bit closer to, and maybe this would surprise you. You might have a better pulse on this where you're at. But I think the perception is maybe a little bit closer to when he had that 5-game stretch, just because that was the peak of what he could do. But I think that, you know, it'd probably be smarter to lean closer to what we saw last year. And that's just because, you know, that, you know, was when he had a full off season under his belt. He came in prepared. Obviously, the Niners were dealing with a lot, you know, surrounding him. And obviously, the injury changes a lot of that. But I still think that it's going to take time. I mean, when he comes back, I don't know that you should expect that 5-game hot streak right out of the gate. I mean, he's going to have to gel with these new guys on the field against other first teamers. And so I lean more towards the middle of the pack. And I think that's the reality of when you miss that much time to injuries, you have to fall there.
Yeah. And I think he just got saddled with some unrealistic expectations. I mean, even now, I think they're going to face a little bit of that. I had a guest last week, Cody, who, and this is, you know, somebody who covers the NFL and has a pretty decent name. I'm not going to drop the name because I don't want to throw him under the bus, but he suggested that the Niners were going to go 11-1 to start the season. I laughed out loud on the air. I mean, what did you see last year that suggests this team would go 11-1 to start the year? Not that I'm super down on the Niners, but man, just get to 500 before we start talking about, you know, record paces.
Yeah, I mean, I as soon as you said that, I mean, I thought I'm going to have to look at their schedule again, because unless it's, you know, a cakewalk in the beginning, I don't know. That seems a little bit like a pipe dream there. But, I mean, obviously, you know, like you said, I think the goal, and it's not, I think more so with the Niners, this isn't just about, because most teams, like we said, most fan bases are going to try and reason their way into the playoffs. But I think realistically, if you're the Niners, I mean, because of the setback that Jimmy Garoppolo has had, I mean, you're still building this around him, and it's still in the early phases. You know, whether the fans like that or not, I think that's just the truth. And, you know, they have a lot of good pieces on defense. The young defense, I mean, if they can really surprise, and I think that they could, then maybe you're talking about a couple game swing there. But still, I think maybe the ceiling is like a 10-6, something like that. And obviously, that's probably the best case scenario.
Hey, man, I really appreciate your time. I know it's got to be an awfully busy time of year for you. How many preseason games have you been to thus far? Are you gonna see like 5, 6, 7 preseason games? I know you love those games, right?
Oh, yeah, they're the best. That's the best thing next to the Super Bowl. No, I mean, we're keeping track of all of them. I mean, because we're doing updates every night of the preseason, and so we have to keep track of all of them. But I think everyone is ready for September to roll around, and I think that's when, you know, that's when we'll finally get to see whether Chucky and whether Jimmy are finally going to give us a show.
And we didn't even talk about Antonio Brown and the freak show that he's become. Maybe next time you appear on the show, we'll get into some AB. I love the dude's talent, but man, that dude's got a couple screws loose. Thanks for your time, Cody. I really appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, it's Cody Benjamin, NFL writer for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Cody J. Benjamin. You guys know my rule. If you get on the board, you will get on the air. I will never leave you hanging. Donald in Alameda, you're on 95.7 The Game. Go.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. What you got?
You mentioned earlier that there's all this stuff wrong with baseball. And my point is, there's zero wrong with baseball, and there's tons wrong with football and basketball. And here's my reasoning. There's no Anthony Davises in baseball. You don't have a guy quitting halfway through the year making $20 million a year. There's no Le'Veon Bells that have a contract to decide, I'm not into it. Baseball has a collective bargaining agreement. They have contracts. They all honor it. Nobody in the NBA, some of them in the NBA and the NFL decide that they have to go their own way. If they don't like it, don't be a part of a union. The unions in America, the building trades, et cetera, work hard, negotiate for working wages. And it's not about them making $20 million or $5 million. It's about honoring the contract and the opportunity you have. In basketball and football, they do not. You never hear a problem with baseball. And the fact that the only thing in baseball I would say is a negative is the Harpers and the Machados of the world that want so much money and don't deliver. And it's wrong because the owners actually realize they're not worth $300 million.
Donald, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. That's Donald in Alameda. We got to go quick. We've got Philmo Mike and we've got Sean. I need to hear from them both before we bounce. What's up, Philmo Mike?
Hey. Hello?
Planet Philmo.
Hurry, Planet Philmo it is. Hey, but listen though, Herbs. The last caller had a great point. But he ain't never met Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds left the Pirates. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Players have the first player to start free agency was a baseball player. Like, so I forgot his name, but he was a black dude back in the day in the 60s.
Kurt 70s. Flood.
He the one that got, free agency started. So it's like, I understand what he's saying, but he kind of got to know the history. And then also, you got to know your value. A regular union job is not a basketball job. It's 30,000 people that's going to see LeBron James and Steph Curry play. 30,000 people is not going to come to your job and see what you do.
Exactly. Hey, Philmo Mike.
You got to have some perspective.
Philmo Mike, I know you got more to say, and I want to hear it. I'm on from 8 till noon tomorrow morning. Will you give me a call back? I'll give you some more time. All right, Mike. Give us a call. Sean in Sacramento is going to close it out. You got some thoughts on Hard Knocks, Sean?
Yeah, man. Valley, from the Valley to the Bay Area as well. Thank you for having me on your show. I know I'm your last person. First off, I want to say thank you for introducing the Chucky Show, man. That was the Chucky Show right there at his best. Secondly, basketball has nothing to do with the union. I don't know what that guy was really talking about. But I will say this. Basketball has changed over time simply because, you know, you go back with the Lakers and the Celtics, their rivalry. and compare them with the rivalries of nowadays, it wasn't so much Hollywood involved. And ultimately, there's not a damn thing wrong with baseball.
Thank you. That's what I've been trying to say to everybody, Sean. Thank you for the phone call, Sean. I'm sorry I had to rush you and get you out, but we got to bounce because we've got Rams and Cowboys from Hawaii coming up live next. Wes Mills, thank you so much, Arden. Thank you so much for your work, and thank you guys for listening. Again, 8 to noon tomorrow, I'll be on with JD. Hope to hear you with us on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.